I would assert that the greatest act of our Creator was when He came to become like us in the Incarnation. He made Himself one of His own creatures so that we might be reconciled with Him. Then, the greatest act of the incarnate Lord was the giving of Himself to His disciples at the Last Supper and subsequently to us as the Blessed Sacrament. This was so that His incarnation and His reconciliation with God might come through the human race. For ultimately, then, we are reconciled with the Father by our Blessed Lord's death and resurrection. He comes to us to do it in such a way that it might be accessible to us. This reconciliation with God is possible, and it is seen and touched and tasted and understood in simple language, the language of nourishment and hopefully of delight. God entered His own creation so that the graces that He wishes to pour into us might come out, not just from Him, but also be received. Received in our very human experience. That we might be brought to share in His superabundant divine life of glory. Today, as we come together to celebrate the solemnity of the most blessed body and blood, the most precious body and blood of our Lord, we come together to remind ourselves of this great sacrament, this mystery of God. When I speak of a mystery of God, it's not like reading some mystery novel or watching some sort of, Dateline episode, waiting for the conclusion. This is much more about when we speak of a mystery of God, it's how God wishes to reveal Himself to us so that we might come to know, love, and serve Him in this life so that we might be capable of living with Him forever in the next, be in communion. So in this sacrament, that of the Eucharist, our Blessed Lord Jesus continues to give of Himself, pours Himself out for us, so that we might recognize the hallmark of God that is revealed, known in the person of Christ, that is self-giving. It is a great reminder then, as we live the mysteries of Jesus, that we who are grafted onto Him are His disciples, but in a way we are the body of Christ. We are grafted through our baptism into Christ. And we then should, through this great sacrament, be nourished and strengthened and delight in the ways that we too have been called to be self-gift. To recognize the graces we have received so that we might allow them to outpour in service of neighbor. This also requires us to recognize the good that exists in the other so that we might then, nourished by the Eucharist, help pull out the best from them so that their lives too might show forth the glory of God that is alive in their hearts, minds, souls, and wills, strengthened by the worthy reception of the most blessed sacrament. For we know that the consecrated bread and wine are not just sacred symbols. The consecrated Eucharist is not at the same level of, say, holy water or some crucifix, or as beautiful as it may be, an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's not simply a material sign like the other sacraments. For in fact, the great gift of the Eucharist, unlike other sacraments, which are gifts from God, the sacrament of the Eucharist is a gift which contains the giver. The other sacraments are signs of an action of Christ, say forgiveness. But this sacrament, we recognize today in a special way, is the sign of his sheer presence, his real presence among us. So as long as the outward forms of bread and wine endure, there he is, true body, true blood, true soul, true divinity, willing to be present and choosing to be with us, for us. This too tells us something profound about the sacrament, because it tells us something profound about God. God has an enduring and personal love for each and every one of us. For it is characteristic of the behavior of those who love that they wish to be present with each other. Now I know, this husbands and wives in particular, I'm sure you recognize this isn't always true of us. By the way, that's true, that's a joke, you can laugh. And even in family life, we know that things can be difficult. But when we're moments of reflection and really are honest with ourselves, don't we love spending time being in the presence of those we love? Amidst frustrations even. This is the way the most blessed sacrament works for us with Christ. For Christ on this altar, Christ in the tabernacle, Christ in the monstrance, is here not merely to be useful, but to be present. To be present. So that we can delight in him, but so that he can also delight in us. If you would allow me just one more point, it's not particularly short, but I think it's important. For we have to hopefully recognize through the Blessed Sacrament that the very heart of Jesus is there present and is willing to be with us. He is interested in us. He pays attention to us. It is his pleasure to be with us. He is always listening. And he listens to everyone. And he listens to everything. If you've maybe taken a second and stopped to meditate on the great love that is the Eucharist, and see the ways in which perhaps then we are led to do good, can we imagine what the world would be like if we operated out of self-gift and with a desire to be present, to give of ourselves, just like our Blessed Lord on the altar, which is connected to his cross, which is in the Eucharist and the tabernacle, connected to his resurrected and living self. For our Lord is someone who always listens to everyone and to everything. Think of the always. We know through the biblical stories that he falls in love with us. He blesses and heals the sick, story after story telling us this. He wakes up in the middle of the night to calm storms. He comes to show the glory of God through the transfiguration and what we are called to. He mourns at the death of his friend Lazarus. He weeps with those who weep in the streets of Jerusalem. And he shows forth how he can give completely of self on Calvary so that he might know the completeness of what it means to suffer as a human being. Always, always listening. In a particular way, I hope the young people, some of which are already dozing off, I can tell, but the young people who are in church today realize just how much you are loved by Jesus, who listens to you, particularly in the Blessed Sacrament. For those of you who feel alone, feel unworthy, who feel disrespected, for those who feel as if they are unlovable, know that our Blessed Lord in the Blessed Sacrament loves you. It is the greatest sign that you are important and that God is willing to be with you in difficult times as much as in your joys, so that you might know him completely. You are not alone, and the reason you are not alone is because he makes it clear to you on that altar and in that tabernacle. Always listening. Think of how he listened to everyone. The naive disciples who asked in order to learn and got it wrong again and again. To the cunning Pharisees and others who asked him questions in order to ensnare him in traps and find his hypocrisy. To the crowds that surrounded him, sometimes exhausting him. To the blind beggar on the road. And even to his immaculate mother, he listened. Even to the sinful and those who chose not to follow him. He listened to them. He listened to their plea of faith. I want everyone to recognize that when we read the Gospels, this is all true. It's so that we might come to recognize him in the Word, so that we might come to recognize him in the breaking of the bread. That we might know the intimacy that he wishes to love us, regardless of our situation. This testament helps us to know the end to which self-gift and love prevail. That's why it's read alive in our midst, so that we might recognize him alive on our altar. Don't forget, he's listening to the pleas of our faith. Just like the woman who is hemorrhaging, Zacchaeus who goes out on the edge of a tree, even to the blasphemy at the praetorium before his death. He also hears our hosannas, and he also hears those who are dragged down by tears and loneliness. If there's nothing else to take from today's particular solemnity, this great feast of the body and blood of our Lord, let us be reminded of the ways in which he is calling us to an ever deeper intimacy and love with him, because he's given himself for us so that we might become like him. This, my friends, is good news.